Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has arrived in Kyiv on an unannounced visit today. Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine, and a lot of uncertainty with the election 2 weeks away, isn't there, Joseph?
Indeed, Bob, and I've just arrived on an unannounced visit to Kharkiv, 30 miles from Russia, and I've had a luxurious 16 hours without a bomb, 16 hours without missile attack, because when I last night at about 10 o'clock at night, the Russians sent glide bombs onto this city. And right now I'm talking to you from really the center of Kharkiv on Freedom Square. And behind me is a famed building called the Dyrasprom. And it's like something out of a superhero comic book. It was built in the constructivist style in the 1920s. It spans three blocks with overhead walkways, and it epitomizes the engineering skill of this city and sort of the imagination of this city. And as I look at the square around me, I see to my right a very beautiful park. There's the Kharkiv City Zoo. It's full of people on this sunny afternoon. But I can also see many buildings that have been bombed, including buildings that have been bombed since my most recent trip here, including the Palace Hotel, one of the nicest hotels in the city, now unusable because the Russians have hit it twice. And around 10 p.m. last night, as I said, there were three Russian glide bombs that hit the city. The glide bombs are very messy and very destructive. They hit a shopping center, and it was late at night, so no one was there. But immediately the power went out when the first bomb hit. And, you know, Bob, I had not been in Kharkiv since April, and you kind of get complacent a little bit. I wasn't ready. So I was at my desk preparing to do some work. All of a sudden, the building shakes, and the power goes out. And I had to scramble to find my phone and shoes in the total darkness. And, you know, just not prepared. And none of my power banks were ready. And when I went down to, well, you know, I'd arrived early in the morning on a 14-hour train from Lviv. And as I've said before, I love taking the Ukrainian trains, especially the overnight trains. In this case, I got my own room, and it's kind of a bit of a retreat because you don't really have internet access. And 14 hours of bliss, you know. I had friends in Lviv. They have a nice cafe. They made me... Oh, by the way, we can hear the alarm in the background, but it's the all-clear. This is the all-clear alarm sounding here throughout the city. And so friends made me a nice Italian sandwich. I had a bottle of wine, a very relaxing train journey for 14 hours. And then, of course, to arrive back here in Kharkiv. And every time when I'm returning here, you know, there's a little bit of you that says, what am I doing? going toward the war, 30 miles from Russia. But this city is, you know, is so full of, you know, as I've talked about so many times, spirit and life. And so even last night in the shelter, in the building where I stay, it was a jovial gathering. People were sharing drinks and conversation. And there was a group of Ukrainian doctors who come here from all over the country. They also come here to the edge to help people, in frontline villages. And we were laughing and joking. And at one point I said to everyone, did everyone forget that just an hour ago we had bombs were shaking the entire city? And here we are laughing and joking. And talking with the doctors, one thing we pointed out, in Russian, the word for hospital is bolenitsa, which means place of pain. And in Ukrainian, the word for hospital is lekarna, which means a place of healing. And so as I sat there in the shelter, laughing and joking with people, you know, we're going through hell, but still it was a healing experience. And this is why I love being in Kharkiv. We've heard even former President Trump is repeating last week at the Al Smith dinner, this refrain that Ukraine is gone. But here in Kharkiv, you see a city that's anything but gone. It's still defiant, even as you can hear the air raid alarms ring out right now as I speak.
It's so interesting to hear of your travels, Joe. This is an email that's very interesting from Audrey, and she writes, I want to thank you for hosting the Joseph Lindsley updates. I only discovered these a month or so ago, and now they are a regular part of my morning. I've also shared it with my friends and encouraged everyone to tune in. was alarmed today to hear about the dragon's teeth that are being put up between Lithuania and Kaliningrad, Russia. My parents were born in Lithuania and had to flee Soviet oppression. It's terrible to see the same thing happening in this century to the people of Ukraine. You may know that Chicago has a huge Lithuanian population. We support the people of Ukraine, and our greatest fear is that the Baltic states will be next on Putin's list. I hope Joseph can continue reporting and also letting us know how else we can support Ukraine. My family and I donate to Ukraine, and I write to politicians as well. If there is more we can be doing, please let us know. Dragon's teeth? I'm not familiar with that, Joseph.
Yeah, dragon's teeth, they look like little pyramids, and you put them on the roads or highways or bridges to prevent tanks from crossing over. And so Lithuania, even though they're in NATO, they have been building their fortifications on the border that they share with the Russian exclave that's within Europe, Kaliningrad. And so this is, the sign that the longer this goes on, the longer Ukraine has continued to restrict and fighting back, even countries in NATO are afraid. That's pretty remarkable that Lithuania would take that step. And then also there's other concerns, for example, in the nation of Moldova, which borders Ukraine to the south. Part of Moldova is occupied by Russia since 1991. And the Moldova, there was an election yesterday, and the pro-Europe, pro-freedom president, she received a plurality, but there still needs to be a runoff. The Russians, according to many reports, have been bringing suitcases of cash into the country via connecting flights that originated in Moscow to try to influence the election. Hmm. And then at the same time, on October 26th, there's going to be an election in Georgia, just across the Black Sea. Georgia is another nation where Russians control the parliament, but the people and the president of that nation do not want to be part of Russia. And so we have in Moldova and Georgia right now elections that, Russians are hoping to control those nations as well. So there's a lot of things simmering. And this is why, why I made a point right now of coming here to Kharkiv. As I said, when former President Trump spoke at that dinner in New York last week, there's one thing that people didn't pick up on, but he said that right before he got on the stage, some Ukrainian Christian leaders spoke to him. And I think what's happened is they've kind of overshot their storytelling. They're only telling Trump and others about the destruction that's happening here. And that's why Trump said, he says Ukraine is gone. But not enough people are saying, hey, look, this can actually work. I mean, the fact that here I am in Kharkiv, which back in May, this city was on the edge of being destroyed until the Biden White House gave permission for Ukraine to hit back in a limited way. And so here we can see that Ukraine is not gone. But as we look at all these tensions in this region of Europe, we see that if something doesn't change quickly, I think we could have a lot more disasters on hand.
We could. Interesting to hear the other side. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, only you can call a 14-hour train ride bliss.
That's pretty comfortable. I had some wine. It was nice.
I understand. Thank you very much.
Until tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.